Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I was better this morning than I am now. Now I'm kind of annoyed. I'm a little bit ticked off.
That's very fair. Right now we're Monday night. It's almost 9 o'clock, and the Washington football team just came away with a win, beating the Steelers for their first loss of the season. So
very annoying. Very, very annoying. The Giants could have a stranglehold right now, but hey, it's going to be close. Washington's a good team. They are definitely a good team, man. They've got a solid defense. Alex Smith, what he's doing is honestly just incredible.
That was incredible.
But I think we have to do one thing
before. Yeah, so today, in the spirit of talking Giants, we have a very special guest. This is one of my best friends. Frank Capasso is here on the pod with us to talk Giants, talk Daniel Jones, talk playoff implications, and talk about football. How are you, Frank?
Pretty good. I appreciate you guys having me. Excited to be here.
We're excited too, Frank. We're very excited. I mean, we got some optimism here going in Giants world. We should have just recorded last night because now I'm so annoyed about it. I'm so annoyed, dude.
I can imagine. I mean, look, I know I saw your reaction to the game after last night. You were absolutely hyped up. You could not, like, that reaction was actually really funny to watch. Like, it made me feel good to be a Giants fan, technically, because right now, if the Giants make the playoffs, I'm going to root for them just for the sake of the pod. So yeah, seeing that was actually pretty cool.
Dude, all I'm going to say is, here's the first thing. The Giants are the real deal. Washington is also the real deal. I think they're both good football teams. I really do. And I think that the Steelers are frauds. That's the biggest takeaway. The Steelers are absolute frauds. They didn't deserve – I'm not a Steelers hater. I saw everyone was like, oh, like they're the worst undefeated team ever, like blah, 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 blah. They're frauds. I don't care. They're frauds. But
yeah, I mean, I take the Chiefs. I take the Packers. There's a lot of teams I take over than – well, now the 11-1 Steelers.
New Orleans, too, even? Like, yeah.
I mean, they don't get me wrong, their defense is astounding. But I can't imagine Ben Roethlisberger holding a Super Bowl trophy this year. It's not going through my head.
They're not – I think they've got a few key injuries now on defense, too. Like, they're just – we're not going to talk – we're going to kind of leave the Steelers subject. It's just fresh in our heads right now after that, but – just, God, that's annoying. That's so annoying. But it is what it is. You know, it just proved – the Giants are going to have to be a good team. They're going to have to continue to play well in order to win this division. And this is just got to – hopefully it just keeps them motivated. So let's just dive right into this Seahawks game.
What a game.
Wow, yeah. I mean, the Giants defense, man, just – they balled out. If we predicted in our preseason, in our preview for the NFL season that we did like 3 months ago, we both predicted a Seahawks win. That was back when we thought Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley would be playing, and they came in there with Colt McCoy, and they got a character win and potentially franchise altering. Like, this could be a turning point kind of win. That's what it felt like. That's really what it felt like, because the Giants hadn't beaten a team over 500 in like 3 years. And listen, man, it just there's something in the water, man. It feels a little bit different this year. And not to get negative, but if the Giants do end up losing the NFC East, that's what's supposed to happen, man. Like 5-7, like at this point, especially the way they started off 0-5 and 1-7, like. That's something to be proud of. But you got to keep winning games because now they're right there. So let's hop right into this game. Obviously, first half was kind of quiet for the Giants. They couldn't get anything going on offense. They had that blocked punt at the end. They're down 5-0 at the half. And at this point, as a fan, I'm thinking, like, I'm, like, annoyed because, like, I always get all negative and pessimistic during these Giants games. Like if you guys follow my Twitter, you see that, like, pessimistic Kyle is what wins the Giants games. That's what it is. So I was like, oh, they're not going to put up a single point. Colt McCoy like stinks, blah, 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 blah. Man, their offensive line and their running game showed up. Both Gallman and Morris, dude, they really showed up. So
100%. Like, the play of one, the rushing offense. Two, I've seen like an entire new life in this offensive line. Like, they weren't perfect, but the fact that they were able to transform from what was one of the worst at the beginning of the year to something completely different now is absolutely insane. And like, look, I don't believe that Andrew Thomas is as good as he should be yet, and maybe that just comes
he's with still time. Playing he's been playing like a stud recently though.
Exactly, like he's been playing well enough recently to solidify himself as a starter, and I'm extremely, like, I think the right word is surprised, just because I would not expect that kind of turnaround this quickly.
I mean,
yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, Frank, you go.
No, I appreciate it. If you told me going into this year that week 12, that Colt McCoy and Wayne Gallman would beat Russell Wilson, I wouldn't believe you. And now it only makes me question, right? Wayne Gallman is just running. It's the Wayne train. Like, he just keeps on going. And honestly, it really makes you question. And don't get me wrong, Saquon Barkley, generational talent. He's that dude that it doesn't matter if you have a running back there, you draft him. Like, he's an outstanding player. No bad words. But it really makes you question, what are you going to do with Saquon? Granted, you're going to start him, but if Wayne Gallman's running like this with this offensive line, it's like, could you possibly get something for him? Like, this is what I'm thinking. And if you want to franchise Daniel Jones, and I'll get into this later, but it maybe set up key weapons with him, because it's crazy to think that Wayne Gallman and Alfred Morris are running all over the Seahawks.
Right. And it's a perfect – it's like – I'm trying to think of, like, it's like thunder and lightning, man. It's like Jacobs and Bradshaw with Morris and Gallman these last few weeks, man. Like, he's like, Gallman's the speed guy. He'll get you, maybe if he can break one off for 60 yards like he did yesterday. That's great. Like, he's a finesse guy, and then you get Alfred Morris in there, a third down back, red zone back, getting you those tough gritty yards, scoring two touchdowns. I mean, that's a recipe for success. And here's the thing, Saquon Barkley, dude, you're right, he's an incredible talent. The Giants are a young team. They've got a lot of young players in big roles, and I'm going to get into that with their defense. Guys like Tay Crowder playing a big role, Carter Coughlin playing a big role, Leonard Williams really stepping up this year in just what's looking like now a much better trade than it was last year from the Jets. There's other guys that I'm not mentioning, like Logan Ryan and Jabril Peppers are the obvious ones that they've just been playing really well. Like, the Giants got so much pressure on Russell Wilson. They were rushing four, even three on some seemingly every play. They pressured him 13 times and they brought him down 5 times. And that's like, they're almost rolling out a blueprint of how you're going to beat Russell Wilson here. It was really impressive the way they had the whole game planned out. Patrick Graham continues to be just stellar with his game plan for this defense. He's doing a remarkable job taking what was a bottom five defense in the league last year, getting those young guys to buy in. They're really playing well. The playmakers are making plays, man. James Bradbury, he didn't have a sexy stat line, but the only plays that DK Metcalf was able to get on him were on comeback routes. He wasn't letting him go deep. He wasn't letting him make those big plays. Jabril Peppers, Blake Martinez, Logan Ryan even, the playmakers. Makers are making plays, and that's the kind of defense the Giants have been running, and right now it's working, and you need to keep doing that. And they head into Arizona next week, and Arizona's lost three in a row. Kyler Murray, who, by the way, I love Kyler Murray. Everyone who listens to the show knows that I love Kyler Murray. So it hurts me a little bit, but they're gonna next week is a huge game now, especially with the way Washington won, because it's going to be close down the stretch, and they have that tiebreaker, but the Giants need to win as many games as possible. They can't sit back now.
And on the topic of that, right, I won't lie. When Daniel Jones was picked, I was pissed. I was so angry because, right, going through my head, sixth pick, you look at the mock draft, you look at this dude. I don't care if he played at Kentucky. The linebacker, Josh Allen, put up like some ridiculous stat, like 43 sacks or something. You draft that dude. We need a defense at the time. You draft him, and if Daniel Jones isn't there at 17, you go to the 2020 draft and you look at Herbert, because you scouted him back in 2018, right?
This is right.
Your mind. And I've given him a decent amount of hate. Because, you know, there was some stat by his 22 starts, he had 43 turnovers, and it's like, what can you do at this point, right? Uh-huh. I'm stopping the Daniel Jones slander, and this is because why? You look at the example, right? Look at the Packers. They got rid of Mike McCarthy, and look at Aaron Rodgers, right? Daniel Jones has gone through three offensive coordinators in the last 3 years. He hasn't had a set guy to lead him, and is Joe Judge the guy? I mean, it's trending upwards, and I'm really excited for that. And I've given him a lot of slander. And, you know, a lot of the interception isn't his fault. You look at Evan Ingram. He's got to hold on to a ball.
Yeah.
It hits off his gloves every time.
Yeah.
Such Evan a liability.
The thing about Evan Ingram, and I brought this up either last week or the week before, he's like, for Yankee Giants fans know this, he's like the Gary Sanchez of the Giants, man. He's like, there's so much talent there. And there's so much promise and there's so much potential, and he'll do something boneheaded that'll just put points off the board for the Giants. And you're just like, oh my God, how can he do that? And then he'll cook Jamal Adams in coverage and get a big first down in the 4 minute drill. And you're like, that's the guy. Like, that's our playmaker tight end on offense. And it's interesting you bring up is Joe Judge the guy. I have not really formulated a huge opinion yet on Jason Garrett. I'd like to see him I think Colt McCoy did a serviceable job as a backup quarterback, did what he needed to do to get in there and win, kept his team in the game, didn't really do anything completely boneheaded, but he highlighted exactly what's been wrong with this Giants offense all year long. And that's that, like, this quick, like, little rinky-dink, like, quick plays, like, that's what gets Daniel Jones, like, that's why he overthinks, and that's why he ends up turning the ball over. I'd love to see some more creativity. Like, we can give Jason Garrett credit for, like, running the ball or whatever. Like, that's just an obvious game plan. Like, I'd love to see them take more shots down the field now that Daniel Jones is gaining more confidence. You've got a guy in Darius Slayton that has been proven that he can cook coverage and go deep. He dropped a big pass in Cincinnati last weekend, but it's a guy – he's been quiet these last few weeks because Jason Garrett's almost cut him out of the game plan. Even Evan Ingram, even. Like, there's obvious moments here and there where, like, the Giants just – it's just a button hook. It's a curl. It's whatever it is. It's a stick route. And, like, it's like, oh, my gosh, just call a fade for him. Daniel Jones will lay it out down the field 40 yards. They did it one of those plays in Cincinnati on, like, third or fourth down on the opening drive, and it was fantastic. I'd love to see more of that, get more advantageous with it. And, obviously, we don't know what Daniel Jones' health is going to be coming up this Sunday, but you got to assume he's playing. I'm gonna assume he's playing going into this week, but I'd like to see some more diversity in that aspect.
Okay, but just to stay on the topic of the Seahawks game. So, what I like the most about this Giants win is that it wasn't one player, it wasn't one, like, singular kind of play or one thing that happened. That was a real team win, and to come out and win that game with your backup quarterback, your backup running back. You have a decent amount of injuries on both sides of the field. I think that is the best possible thing. That's the best possible outcome that you want to see as a Giants fan. And you know what? I know that both of you aren't exactly huge fans of Dave Gettleman. That game yesterday, I think, just saved his job. Because you saw the amount of different role players and players that don't normally kind of break out that kind of way. You saw that teamwork. You saw that chemistry. The fact that so many different players were able to make a huge impact – I think that right there is 100% a job saver for Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Gettleman. His best draft was this year because you see these young players, you see these rookies, and they're playing big roles, and they're playing well, and they're doing their jobs early on in their careers. And this is like the first time where you see, like, I think every single guy that they've drafted other than McKinney because of his injury and because the defense is clicking, no need to fix what's not broken, that they've all done a good job so far in there. And even guys like Isaac Yiadom at the cornerback two position. Like, think of it this way. The Giants pass rush, they've lost so many guys. They traded Golden. Zimenez is out for the year. Fackrell's out right now. You know what I mean? There's just guys on that pass rush. And then Leonard Williams is coming up big. Dalvin Tomlinson's coming up big. They're just – it's not a next man up mentality, but they're just all clicking together and it's making sense. And it showed this Sunday.
That front line of Dexter Lawrence, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Leonard Williams, it's exciting to be a Giants fan and see that, you know? And I'd arguably say this defense is top five. I don't care what you say. Yeah, the Giants are 5-7. Yeah, they play – they're in the worst division. Their defense is full of studs, okay? You have – you know, we got Logan Ryan, right? And he's just been coming up big. Like, the big names, but it's also the guys that you were talking about, the guys that aren't in the limelight. And to piggyback off of Anthony, it's a team effort. It wasn't one single time that, you know, that, somebody got a big pick. It was everybody chipping in up until literally the last play when Williams – had enough pressure and he just heaved it down the field and you had three corners on Metcalf and Lockett couldn't make the catch off the rebound.
Yeah, and it really comes down to these young players buying into Joe Judge's system, to his mentality, to his scheme. And that's something we weren't totally sure of at first, especially with an 0-5 start. We've seen guys in that Belichick coaching tree, they've been bad before and it's gone poorly when you try to imitate greatness, you know? It's like if you put a 12-year-old and you have him shadow Elon Musk for 2 years, that doesn't mean he's going to be a genius. And I'm not saying Joe Judge is that genius. I'm saying that he's done a good job with a young team in an organization that's been in the cellar now for years and years and years. And he's turning them around pretty quickly and more faster than I could have imagined earlier on in the season. And they go into these last four games with a chance, an opportunity. And even if It's funny, if they just keep winning, they're one game out of a wild card spot at this point as well. So they've got to just keep winning these games, man. It's one game at a time. I want to at some point preview these next four games, but I'll let you guys have your final thoughts on the Seattle game, but I'll go first. I was really happy with the offensive line play. I was really happy with the running game. I could do with less penalties overall all around, but the defense did a fantastic job forcing turnovers, bringing pressure, making Russell Wilson feel uncomfortable in the pocket, and that's what you're going to have to do against Kyler Murray next week because we know he's not playing at 100%. And the Giants are coming into that game hot and at home, and the Cardinals have lost three straight. So you got to just keep the trends going, and I'll let one of you guys closing remarks on the Seahawks game.
Okay, so – kind of going a little bit off topic, but I just want to talk about Joe Judge for a second real quick. So Belichick's coaching tree recently hasn't been the most reliable. I mean, you have people like Brian Flores that actually like proved to be very good, but you also have the outliers like Patricia, and I don't know why I can't think of anyone else, but just the fact that Belichick hasn't... Bill O'Brien, that's why I couldn't... Yeah. So just the idea that you have these coaches that are coming out of Belichick, you're kind of iffy with that kind of thing. I don't think Joe Judge is like either Bill O'Brien, or it's just the point that he has a vision for this Giants future, I think. And that's been able to like be shown because it seems like he has heart. And like, as much as that's weird to say, and maybe it's just because I'm a Jet fan and my head coach has absolutely no loyalty to our team whatsoever, but seeing a head coach with heart must be so nice for the players. Because, you know what, they're fighting with you. Like, I don't know the correct way to explain it, but I just think that Joe Judge, I'm so much higher on him right now than I was at the beginning of the season because I've just seen, like, the way that he's been able to connect with these players and the way that he's been able to translate that on into good play on the field. So I think that Joe Judge hire, now looking back on it in week 12, 13, whatever it is, I think that that was an extremely solid hire for the Giants. And I think that that's only proven – even more with this last win. I think that, yeah, you know what? It wasn't a very interesting game to start off. I mean, I was hoping for a scorigami at halftime, the 5-0 score. But just the idea, like, they were able to play arguably a top three team in the NFL.
Definitely in the NFC.
Exactly. And fight with them and actually come out and beat them is extraordinary for a team that started 0-5.
And just going off for my final remarks, you know, you look at your phone, you get the notification, right? And you see that Joe Judge, some special teams coach, the first time you see him is your head coach. And you're like, come on, such a Giants move, right? Like, if you know you're a Knicks fan, that's just like how the Knicks are. You're like, come on, that's just such a Giants move. You screw up in the draft, you get Andrew Thomas, and now you got Gettleman, right? Judge. But let me tell you, and it's not even like he's connecting with the players so well, but it's also that personal connection. Like, there was a video that came out probably week two or three where it was like a rainy practice and like Joe Judge like went on the fumble, or like it was at practice and there was a ball out. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like that connection. You can't teach that, you know? Like, you can't teach heart, and he's willing to be involved. And I'm so excited for that and for what it has now, and with the hopefully healthy Daniel Jones for next week. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope for that. And to transition to that perfectly into next week, Cardinals next week, we're going to really highlight this one a lot. Kyler Murray, as I aforementioned, is coming in banged up. They've lost three in a row since the Hail Mary. And both teams have as much motivation as ever. I think Washington has the Niners next week, and the Niners are playing right now. The Cardinals, I think I definitely chalked this one up as a loss when we did preseason. But I look at these final four. I see Cardinals and Browns at home, Ravens on the road, and then Dallas. I really see for the first time, and this is because of yesterday's character win, for the first time I see a path for the Giants to win all four of those games. Not saying they will. I'm not saying they're the better team in all four. I'm not saying that they'll even win two or three of them. But there is a realistic chance that the Giants are going to be the better team in all of these next four games. So it's something to be excited about.
Okay, so just based off that, so let's look over the teams that you guys have to – or Giants have to play these next 4 weeks. So you got Arizona coming into MetLife. That's obviously this Sunday. You talked a little bit about that. I mean, I'm riding on Kyler Murray to win me my fantasy playoffs if Taysom Hill doesn't continue to start. But for that game, like you said, it's very high stakes. But before I get into that, let's go to the other one. So right after that, Giants stay home. On December 20th, you have Cleveland coming in. And I think that's going to be a very good game. And
then, I think that game's going to be a lot closer than people are. Because, like, the Browns showed out last week, but
mm-hmm. It's too inconsistent. Baker's
no lack of motivation in that game.
Okay, and then after that, you have a road trip. You're going to Baltimore on the 27th. That'll be an interesting game, to say the least. Obviously, Lamar, and hopefully by then everyone will be back in terms of COVID list, whatever it is with Baltimore. I mean, Lamar's coming back tomorrow, so it's not like it's a huge whatever. But that'll be honestly very competitive, I feel like. Like, that's either going to be a blowout or it's going to be really close, and I just don't know which one yet.
I don't think that any of these four games are going to be a blowout, dude. If you just look at the Giants' scores, other than week three, they haven't been blown out. Like, it's just every single one of these games is close. They've been in every single one of these games, and I hate to be this guy again, but, like, the Giants could be on a 7-game winning streak. They could be on an 8-game winning streak even if you want to throw that 5-Dallas game in there. Like, it really – it's not that erroneous of a thing to say. Like, they got screwed on a holding call and a touchdown taken off the board on a fake field goal in Dallas. They did what they've been doing for the last 4 to 8 years, whatever. However long you want. We can skip 2016. Let's just say 8 or 9 years. They did whatever they did. They did what they do against Philly. They blew a big lead. And then they got screwed on a missed PI call against Tampa. So let's just say you win two out of those three. Right now you're sitting at 7-5 and you're looking pretty in the NFC East. And obviously you can't do that. But, like, if I'm going to play devil's advocate here, like, the Giants, like, they could just as easily be 7-5, 8-4, just because I love to torture myself, so I have to say that. But, okay. Well, yeah, I really don't think there's going to be any blowouts. That's the point I'm trying to drive home.
Okay, and then just to finish off this 4-game stretch, Giants possibly first game of January 2021. They play on the 3rd. They finish this regular season at home against Dallas. So let's backtrack to next week. I'm going to start with your guys' predictions for the score and why. So let's start with you, Frank. What do you think for Arizona Giants?
So I love it, right? The Cardinals coming off 3-game loss, if I'm not wrong, and the Giants on a 4-game winning streak. Both teams are just freight trains going at it right now. Both have big motives, team chemistry. I'm going to go with a win. But none of these games, right? And like you guys said, they're going to be shootouts. They're going to be low scoring, nitty gritty, dirty wins. They're just going to be, it's going to be low scoring. I'm not expecting anybody to put up 40 points, and I couldn't even tell you if the combined score is going to be 40 points. I will say that the Giants take this one 21-16. I really do think if the, you saw their defense, I guess, against a mobile quarterback. If you do that against a banged up Kyler Murray, then all you have to worry about is D-Hop, right? And their defense is good enough. It's a matter of if they can capitalize on offense with Daniel Jones coming back, right? You know, you can never play a football season 100% healthy. And especially this year, you really can't with all the injuries. So, I mean, it's a matter if you can get, you know, you start running the ball, you start running, and once they're done, once they start the run, you hit them deep. Like Kyle was saying, you know, you got to test his arm every once in a while. That remark you made reminded me of how OBJ, when he was a Giant, was saying, yeah, you know, like I like the slants, but it'd be nice if Eli threw me, you know, a 40-yard one every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'll go now. I really hate doing score predictions for these games, but I have a score in mind. I do have a score in mind. I think that the Giants are going to win 24-20. I say that reluctantly. It could be more low scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if the score was even lower than 24-20. But it's going to – I agree with Frank. It's going to be ugly. It's going to have to be a grind it out, earn it, work hard, out coach kind of win. It's not going to be pretty because none of the wins have been pretty. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be close. It's going to be a close game. I like the way the Giants have been playing lately as opposed to the way the Cardinals have been playing. That's where the Giants have a big time leg up. I like that the game is in the Meadowlands. So I'll go 24-20 Giants, and it's going to come down to one of the last drives of the game just because the Giants love to torture me.
Right, I like that. I don't know if I should predict anything just because I'm not as whatever, but, you know, I might as well. I think that this will be close. I think that this will be, like you said, a shootout type thing. But I don't know. I feel like the Cardinals are 6-6 now. They're fighting for a wild card spot, something that they weren't even looking at a few weeks back. I don't know. I think that it's too close of – I don't know. There's going to be some vengeance in here. I'm going to say Arizona wins a tight one. So from there, let's move on. Giants-Browns. This one's in MetLife, 1 p.m. game. I'll start right now. I think that, look, maybe this is just my hatred for the Cleveland Browns. I despise the Browns, but they're just so inconsistent. I mean, right now they've had a very good season in comparison to last year, and Baker absolutely went off this week, but I don't know. I just don't see them being a long-term playoff team. For this year, at least, to say the least, just because I don't think that they have the talent and they have the capability to continue winning. I think that Baker is not a good quarterback. I mean, I'm willing to say that he was better than Sam Darnold in that same, because I always pit them against each other. I think that he's better than Sam Darnold in that sense in the situation that he's in. But out of the other first round picks with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, he's nowhere near them. And I don't think he ever will be. So I'm, for this game, it's a complete toss-up. He could either put up another 4 touchdowns with 300 passing yards, or he could put up 3 interceptions and 50 passing yards. I think that this is going to be a Giants win. I'm going to say, I don't know, 35. No, they're not scoring 35 points. I'm going to say like 24-17.
Okay. I think that for the Cleveland game, I'll go – it's going to be another ugly one. Let's go 27-21 Giants. Yeah, I'll go 27-21 Giants because I think that we're in the Baker Mayfield cycle where has a great game, calls out, you know the meme, like the calls out doubters, plays mediocre, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully we'll be back in the mediocre cycle by 2 weeks from now. But like I said, I'm trying to be a little bit more optimistic with these picks here. So I'll take the Giants 27-21. I can't really assess it too much yet just because of the fact that we don't know what happens next week against Arizona yet. It could be completely different. If the Giants lay an egg next week, I'll probably be crying about how the season's over. So,
yeah. What about you, Frank?
And I think the Browns aren't 9-3. You can show me their record. They're not 9-3. I take the Giants 28-17. I just feel like this Giants defense is – they're going to have a tough test, you know? Just definitely going up against arguably the best running back duo in football, definitely the best running back duo in a while with Hunt and Chubb. It's definitely going to be a test run, but I'm confident the Giants can get through it, especially with hopefully their offense capitalizing.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so now let's go on to this third game. Obviously, we don't have as much insight for these as we do these next two games just because we're not too sure what's going to happen in terms of injuries or COVID or whatever. But for the Ravens game, I mean, the Ravens aren't playing at their best right now. Maybe that's because of health. Maybe that's because of everything going on. I was very excited to see Trace McSorley in, but I don't know. I don't see the Ravens losing this game. I think it'll be a hard-fought one. I'm going to say another close one-possession game win for the Ravens.
Yeah, this one, I think I have to pick Baltimore. I think that they're also going to be just close. It's going to be close, but I think the Ravens are – there's no lack of motivation there. And if we're being realistic talent-wise, the Ravens are still better than the Giants. Yeah, I'm gonna go Ravens here. I'll say, I don't know, like 30-26 or something like that. I don't know. I feel like these are all one score games. That's the way I see it. I think every last game is going to be a one score game.
What about you, Frank?
You know, I hate doing this. I'm not an optimistic Giants fan at all, and this is the weird part. But there's no reason why the Giants shouldn't win. Lamar Jackson is not the same Lamar Jackson he was in 2019. He has fell off, and it's because teams are able to understand that he's a mobile quarterback, and they're able to tailor to his game. And that's going to be my prediction just for next year's Kyler Murray, just because – I mean, it's happening now anyway. But, you know, this Giants defense is really something – I could have never predicted at the start of the season. And yeah, I mean, this game and the Cardinals game I predicted, I think they'll go 3-1 I think they'll go 3-1 no matter what in the last four game stretch. And the Cardinals and the Ravens are going to be either win loss or loss win, but I'll take a win here.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. The win loss win prediction.
All right. And then just on to the last game. This one's a little, I think, easier to predict. I think that the Giants are in too much of a tight situation to lose this game to Dallas. Dallas obviously has not played their best football recently due to the injury to Dak and just everything around them kind of crumbling. So I think that this is a no-brainer. Giants win. They win 2 out of 4.
I agree. I think that this is the – obviously, they can't really afford to lose any games anymore because Washington's right on their tail, but – if there's one that they can't lose, it's this one. I think the Giants win this game, and I think the Giants win this game. And when I say big, I mean like 30-20. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I hate to copy you guys, but pretty confident the Giants should be able to win against this dismantled Cowboys team. You know, injuries have fell through for them, and there's no reason why they shouldn't win. And I'll go 28-17 Giants.
So just to wrap up this Giants here, this Giants talk now, look, I think that the Giants are in the best spot that they possibly could be. Obviously, the Washington win this tonight didn't help them. And that's
if Washington lost, they'd be in a fantastic spot right exactly. now.
But you know what? I think right now, like, this is all they could have asked for. I mean, starting 1-7 and now they're in, what, 5-7? That's absolutely incredible. I give so much props to the coaching staff, to the players that stepped up when they needed it most. This Giants team is playing, I hate to say it, but playoff football. And you wouldn't expect that from a 5-7 team, but that's exactly what it is. So that just about wraps up our episode 22. We'll have a Jets episode later in the week because we have a lot to talk about regarding the Greg Williams firing.
Listen, there was a lot of Giants and a lot of Jets going on this week, and we wanted to get Frank on the show. So
yeah, maybe Frank will be back. We'll see.
So yeah, Frank, thank you.
I appreciate it, guys.
So when you're here, might as well drop your social. What's your Instagram, Frank?
Instagram is just Frank Capenista. That's all.
All right. For me, it's Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. And as for the pod, it's Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. And new introduction here, we now have a TikTok. It's Big Apple Sports Media. We'll start posting on that as early as tonight. What about you?
I think that is tonight. So for me, as always, at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a 1. That's Kyle 1 E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. And that's all we have for tonight.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you later in the week. Take care.
Thanks, guys.